From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Eric Logan, filling in for Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour, has been made repeatedly, but more recently prompted by reports published just in the last week of the latest data breach uncovered that is possibly one of the largest ever, including 2.9 billion records on millions of Americans. Reading from a report by Mike Schneider in USA Today in his Friday edition, a massive data breach that compromised the Social Security numbers and other data of millions of Americans, and that information could now be in the hands of hackers. The cache of data is made up of 2.9 billion records, including names, addresses, Social Security numbers, and relatives dating back at least three decades, according to a law firm, Schubert, Jochner, and Colby. This exposed information, makes us even more vulnerable to online and phone scams. And you know what? Prior to this program, I went out and I checked, and some of my old information is actually out there. A text message, picture this, a text message instructs you to pay an overdue fee to the Thruway Authority. A phone call asks for your permission to send thousands of dollars worth of medical supplies. A self-proclaimed celebrity asks for you to invest in their new business venture. These kinds of scams are proliferating. They often target older people. So how do we recognize a scam? What do we do if someone that we love has been victimized? And how do we recognize online and phone scams? And what can we do when we or somebody that we love has been compromised? And then in one final comment, just before I headed out the house to come to WXXI today, I looked down at the newspaper that my wife had left on the table, and right there on page, whatever page this is since I have it folded, Florida company confirms massive data breach. National Public Data aggregates data to provide background checks, has confirmed that it suffered a massive data breach involving Social Security numbers and other personal information for Americans. So we're going to be talking about that and try to come up with some answers. And joining me today on Connections at the Connections Desk is Deputy Brendan Hurley, Public Information Officer for the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Brendan, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a lot of conversation today. And then remotely, we have Justin McCabe, a Scam Prevention Coordinator for Lifespan. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get started so much, why don't we start first with Deputy Hurley? What is your role and what do you know about the latest breach?
So my current role now, as you said, is Public Information Officer. So I'm the media liaison. It is my job to inform the public of crime patterns and arrests that we've made and just the overall good work that the Sheriff's Office is doing. My role previous to this was crime prevention community engagement, which focuses on doing presentations for groups, communities, you know, the church groups, all that, the schools. And scams is one of those, right? Because at the Sheriff's Department, we see way too many of these scams and people falling victim to it. So we try our best to get out there and educate people so that they don't fall victim to scams before it happens.
Hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Justin McCabe, a scam prevention coordinator, Lifespan. Talk a little bit about your role, Justin.
Okay, I work within the scam prevention department at Lifespan. We're a not-for-profit agency. My job is two parts. One, we do presentations on scam prevention. We have four different types of presentations throughout New York State to older adults, those that are 60 and over. And then the other part of my job, I do one-on-one case management with victims of scams. So if you're a victim of a scam, you can call us. We'll walk you through every step to try and lock down your identity, get the scammers to stop calling you. Currently, New York State Office of Victim Services can offer up to $2,500 back per successful scam that goes through. There are some particulars with it, so not every scam will fit the bill, but we can also help victims get money back through the Office of Victim Services as well.
We're going to want to talk more about that because I think that's important that people hear that. So, full disclosure, my previous job before I became an uncompensated person working out here in the community was as IT director, IT manager for the city of Rochester. And over 15 years ago or so, 14, 15 years ago, we didn't for the city have a formal IT security and organization. And I really helped create that at the time. But it was pretty frustrating in one way, because we would keep trying to protect the fortress, you know, make sure that the antivirus is updated, make sure you've got, make sure people aren't going to bad websites by blocking websites that you just knew were bad, firewalls, all kind of technical tools to try to beat the bad guys, only to be defeated by the person who sees an email and makes the phone call or clicks on the link. You want to talk about that a little bit, Deputy Hurley?
Yeah, sometimes we're our own worst enemy, right? So I can tell you from personal experience, I get hundreds of emails daily, you know, multiple a week, and you're constantly just going through them. And in the beginning, right, of the internet and all that stuff, you get these emails and you're just trying to go through them, you know. And sometimes I actually got one a couple weeks ago that was claiming to be I had a subpoena for court. And I knew it wasn't true because I haven't done anything to go to court in a long time in my role. So, but
I like that, in a long time.
In a long time. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be in this position for a couple of years now. So court doesn't go that slow. But, you know, we at our IT department now will actually send us emails as well, trying to get us to fall prey to it, you know, to get you to click on a bad link or things like that as a test. And then when you do click on it, it you know, kind of pops up and says, we gotcha. You know, you need to call this number, and then they kind of educate you on how to do it. But yeah, you just got to be real careful what you click on. Check the addresses. You know, is it something from someone that you really know? All scams, they try to do it urgently, right? It's a super important, you got to do this right now, and they try to rush you so that you don't have time to think. So that's one of the biggest steps, is just take your time, take a breath. Think about, is this real? Is it not real? And then go from there.
So I know that our listeners will have lots of questions. So I want to make sure that that you, as our listener, know that if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you'd like to ask either Deputy Hurley or Justin McCabe any questions, feel free to join us at 844-295-8255, or that's locally at 585-263-9994, or you can write us at connections.org. You know what's kind of funny about cell phones? These days, just about, if you have a cell phone, there are no long distance numbers. You just go ahead and dial, and you get to where you are. So, but either way, those numbers are available to us, and we would invite you to join us, because I may not ask the question that you have in mind. So I want to make sure that that you have an opportunity to ask your questions and get some knowledge. If you have a question about it, I guarantee you there is another 40 or 50 or 100,000 people listening today that have the exact same question. Let's talk about some common scams. What are some of the things that you've seen out there? I'll start with you, Justin.
So currently we see the majority are romance scams. Half of all scams are romance scams.
Romance scams. You're going to have to tell me more about that one. Scams. I haven't seen that one.
Absolutely. The romance scam is basically where they'll target you. So they'll try and find, you know, they'll go to your Facebook page, try and find stuff that you like. So let's say you're into dogs. They will then try and reach out to you and spark up a conversation. Usually they don't talk about money for about the first month. They're just going to want to get to know you, be your best friend, constantly messaging you back and forth about whatever your interests are. And then slowly it'll turn into a romantic situation where they've got feelings for you now. And when you've been talking to somebody every day for the 6 months, a year, because it's the long game with these romance scams. They'll slowly start saying something like, I'll give you an example. My mom just died. She left me $500,000. I don't know what to do. I'm so distraught. I don't have the money to pay. The lawyer called me. It's going to cost $2,000 to get out of probate. I don't have the money for it. Wait a minute. You have $2,000. What if you could pay the lawyer directly, and I'll give you I'll double your money when it comes in. I'll give you $4,000. And then they'll just have another scammer who will call, pretend to be a lawyer, send them a legal contract in the mail. And then it just slowly starts from there. And then there's a problem, and it's another thousand and another thousand. Eventually the victim loses so much money that the lie they're being told has to be real. Otherwise they've lost their entire life savings.
Wow.
The other ones we're seeing quite a bit is the tech support scams. Tech support scams are very insidious scams. This is where they get remote access to the computer. Usually they'll download everything from the computer that you have on there. Often they'll even though you hang up the phone on them, they'll maintain monitoring your computer, seeing who you're talking to, who you're banking with, and then they'll just devise a new scam and call you back maybe a month later after watching it to try and figure out how they can trick you again. The phishing attempts we see quite a bit, which are basically the text message and email messages that come out purporting to be from the government or a large company. Usually they pick large customer bases like Amazon or Walmart. We've seen those quite a bit lately. The other scams that we've seen infrequently, but we do see them, is imposter scams. This is where they call you up and pretend to be Social Security, or they pretend to be IRS, or they'll pretend to be a police officer from out of state usually, and talk to you, tell you that they've got a warrant for your arrest and they're going to come arrest you. Those have been big as of late.
The one that I see more locally is when someone's identity has been cloned on Facebook, and I'll get a message in Facebook Messenger that says, "Hey, how are you doing?" Just a general, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I'm looking at it, and I'll respond, "I'm doing fine. How about you?" Right, kind of thing, just to see why would a friend of mine write like that. And then usually within one or two sentences is, "Hey, have you heard about how I have made all of this money doing X?" And then usually I write my friend and say, "You've been cloned. Time to do something about your passwords." Because that the only place that's going to go is to somehow I have to put money in order to receive this money back. And I think you were just talking about that, Justin. Deputy Hurley, what have you seen?
Yeah, similar to what he was just saying, the big one for us right now is the people calling you and telling you that they're law enforcement of some type. And what we always tell people is law enforcement will never call you and tell you that you have to pay money to get rid of a charge, right? That's if you have a charge, we're going to come knock, right? We may call you if it's a minor charge and say, "Hey, you need to come to the police station and turn yourself in." That could happen, but we're never going to say for $300. And especially the big key with these is a lot of times it's a gift card, an Amazon card, a Green Dot credit card, right? They want you to go to the store, buy a card and give them the code because, "Hey, I'm in Tennessee and I'm not going to come get you, but you can give me the money over the phone," and then you're all set. So that's usually a good clue. But again, they're preying on your fear. They're trying to get you to make an irrational decision quickly. So those ones that are trying, to get something done right away. The other ones, like you were saying with the cloning, we were seeing it a lot where it'd be something that we would put out and it would be just a story of, we made an arrest or this happened. And in the comments, you get somebody that posts and it says, "Click here to see the video. Can't believe it. Look what police did." And it's always some amazing headline trying to get you to click on it because then you download the virus or whatever. You're better at IT than I am. But you click on that and next thing you know, you're hacked. The other one, social media, it's huge. Everybody loves to do those quizzes, what kind of butterfly are you or whatever you want to call it. And if you look at the questions, a lot of times it's, what's your mother's maiden name? What school did you go to? What was the name of your first pet? And it's the same questions that your bank asks you to back up your account. So just be real careful what you're sharing out there.
Yeah. How do they know who to target?
It depends, like he was saying, sometimes they befriend people, and a lot of people, if your Facebook is open to the public, they can just kind of cast a wide net out and find people. But I think it's like phishing schemes. They just try to call or try to email or as many people as they possibly can until they get one who bites.
So just in giving our listeners some help, if you, because it was mentioned earlier, if you are surfing the internet and you're going to a website and it suddenly pops up on your screen that something has found that your machine is running slow or that your machine has been infected or any of those kinds of things, don't click on it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you're running a good antivirus, whether it's Norton or McAfee or any of the ones that are reputable, that's taken care of. You don't need to respond to some ad that says your machine is running slowly and if you have any doubt, if your machine is running slowly, then go to somebody reputable, right? We've got MicroWorks. We've got tons of great local IT companies in town. Any of them would be glad to help either walk you through it or bring the machine in real quickly, and they can fix shop and be good.
Absolutely.
So How do they know who to target?
So a lot of times what happens is, like, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, when they clone or they get a hold of your email, you'll respond to something, you'll click on an email, and they get all of your information, they get your whole contacts list, and then they just start randomly sending out messages like you got earlier, right? Hey, how's it going? And you'd be amazed the amount of people who respond or think that. I mean, I could tell you a story probably 10 years ago. I got a call. I was working nights, and I went to this house, and the lady had that happen exactly. Her email got hacked, and they reached out to every single contact as this person and said, hey, I'm stuck in England. I broke my leg. I missed my flight back. I'm in the hospital. I know we barely know each other, but could you help me out? And she felt guilty, and she actually sent a couple $100 to this person. And it ultimately ended up being a hacker, but they prey on your kindness. They prey on, you know, getting you to do something to help those people out.
So you said a couple of things. You said they encourage a sense of urgency. In other words, you got to do something right away. And that does tend to not make you think clearly. All of us, any of us. Mm-hmm. In fact, I went pretty far on the toll one for myself. So just so you know, it's just, we'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a whole point of kind of making it urgent. And then there's the other thing of just, as you said, if someone says they know you, what are some of the tools that can be used so that you can verify that who is trying to contact you is really somebody you know?
So a lot of what we used to get was the person would call and say, hey, grandma, it's me. I was in a car accident. I need your help. Well, any grandparent, that's going to pull on your heartstrings and your mind starts racing. And a lot of times what you figure out is they say, oh my gosh, Jimmy, are you okay? Yeah. Right. Well, what'd you do? You just supplied them with the name, right? Or they're like, hey, why do you sound so different? Oh, it's because I broke my nose. So that's why I all of a sudden have this different accent, right? It, again, they're preying on your kindness and your emotion to try to get you to rush to do something so that you don't have time to sit and think about it. But what we always tell people is, again, slow down. Try to call that person back, right? If it's your grandson, try to call them. Right. Or call their parent, call somebody else to verify, hey, is Jimmy really in England? Or no, mom, he was at my house last night for dinner, you know, things like that. Just try to verify those things. There's never really a rush. And how are they contacting you? Is it from their normal email? Is it from their normal phone number? You know, things like that. Just slow down. Don't make a rash decision. And when in doubt, call 911. Right? A deputy will come out and will always help you walk through this stuff.
Justin, what are some of your tricks of the trade to stay safe?
I would say one of the big things you can do, especially if you get the cloning, is call the person. You know, if it's your cousin, all of a sudden sends you a message, says, hey, I just, have you heard about this new grant? You're on the list. You could win. I just got 100,000. Call them on the phone. Usually when it comes to finances, one of the things that's, especially with Facebook, is don't talk finances on Facebook. If somebody's messaging you, especially if they're reaching out to you out of the blue and it happens to be a financial matter, that's a big red flag. Some of the other things we will tell people, especially with phishing attempts, is never clicking links within emails or text messages and never calling the phone numbers in an email or text message. So if you get a text message and it purports to be from Amazon and says that there was some fraudulent activity or a problem on your account and it gives a phone number, hang up, you know, don't call that phone number. Look up Amazon's phone number. If it's your bank, pull out your credit card, flip it over, call the number on the back. Some of the other things we tell is typically the scammers are going to ask for one of five payment methods, and they're unusual. So the one is gift cards. Anytime anyone asks you for a gift card as a method of payment, it is always going to be a scam. So there's no legitimate purpose to pay in gift card. The other one is cash in the mail. You know, once that cash leaves your hands in the mail, it's nearly impossible to get it stopped. And usually the scammer will have you overnight it. The other ones are Cash App, Venmo, or Zelle. You know, sending money, these are apps you put on your phone, you link your bank account and send it to another person who has that same app. Once that money's gone, it's not coming back. So unless you personally know a person, you know, maybe I mow your lawn, you say, Justin, what payment method would you take? And I say, you can Venmo me, that's fine. But if you're talking to somebody on the phone, red flags. Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, a lot of times what they'll just have you do is go to a Bitcoin ATM, and they're all over Rochester. And sometimes they'll just have you purchase Bitcoin right from the ATM. Some of the ATMs will take cash. So instead of taking out money, you put money into the machine, spits out a receipt. You send that picture of the receipt to the scammer, and he's now got that money. And then the last one is wire transfers. These are interbank transfers. So you usually have to go down to your bank to set it up. They're usually used for international wires. So when you're sending out money, the majority of the scammers are outside of the country. So those five payment methods being asked for, big red flags. Some of the other things, like the deputy mentioned, never be afraid if someone calls and says that they're law enforcement to call 911, have an officer come over or a deputy and say, hey, this person's saying they're law enforcement. Can you verify who they are before I speak with them? Because we've seen those quite a bit. And also remembering that the federal government is never going to call you on the phone. So if you get a call and it's the IRS or it's Social Security, just hang up the phone. Their primary method of communication is always going to be U.S. mail.
Excellent. There are also some auto settings that could be dangerous in your email, and maybe also for text. I'm not sure about text. I don't have any. I don't have any expertise in that, especially because of the different text tools they're using. But in your email, you should. I would recommend, or I'm going to ask you: would you recommend that the settings be to not automatically download images, not automatically open links, not automatically, so that none of the email that comes to you feeds any information back to the sender, even read receipts, right? To have no information going back to the sender saying, hey, I've opened this email. Do you agree?
Absolutely. If you can, usually there's that setting on there where you can view it as basic text or HTML. If you just set it as basic text and, again, always calling, calling the company directly. If you get an official, usually the big corporations are not going to, your bank account, your bank sends you a message. It's never going to be a statement or talk about the actual numbers that you're dealing with. You know, $13,000 was withdrawn from your account. It's just going to be a message saying log in to the account. So if you get anything, and like the deputy said, slowing down, making sure that you take a second. The scammers, it's been proven through the research that the scammers, one of their biggest intents is to raise your stress level, because we as humans do not make good decisions when we are stressed.
Right.
Yeah, another good piece of advice there that we give people is, did you make the call? Right? If your bank calls and they're asking for a bunch of information, that's a red flag, right? Like, if you make the call and they're asking you to verify, that's totally different. And the beauty about cell phones and even landlines with caller ID is if you don't recognize the number, let the machine get it. Let the voicemail get it. And I tell people all the time, number one, that way you can see who's calling. You get rid of that rush, that need for urgency, and it's evidence. Now you have this person leaving a voicemail, and now we have that little bit of evidence to help us in any case that we have. So don't answer the phone.
That's excellent. Excellent to know. Tell you what, we're going to take our only break of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to have Sally join us on the call, who's a retired teacher and caregiver for a relative, who's going to talk to us a little bit about what her experience is. And we're going to continue our conversation with Deputy Brendan Hurley, Public Information Officer for Monroe County, and Justin McCabe, Scam Prevention Coordinator for Lifespan. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, my colleague Daniel Kushner is hosting in the first hour, talking to local indie novelists about the challenge of getting published, what it takes to write, create, and get out there and get seen when so many publishers are having trouble. Then in our second hour, we're bringing back a recent conversation on plastics, how to live with fewer single-use plastics in your life.
This is Connections. I'm Eric Logan. We're back from the break. I'm sitting in for Evan Dawson. We're talking with guest Deputy Brendan Hurley, who's the Public Information Officer for Monroe County Sheriff's Office, Justin McCabe, who's the Scam Prevention Coordinator for Lifespan. Joining us is Sally, retired teacher and caregiver for a relative. We're going to be talking about how to recognize and protect ourselves from online and phone and other kinds of scams, and you as well, when you call at 844-295-8255. 295 or 585 563-9994 or when you write us at connections.org. Sally, welcome to Connections, and thank you for being willing to share your experience with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad to have a chance to relate this, what happened to our family.
Well, why don't you go ahead and share? What did happen to your family?
Well, I'm a caregiver to a relative in her early 80s, and she doesn't hear well on the phone and has difficulty understanding phone conversations. So she was called by someone telling her that they would be sending her a back brace, leg braces, and some other things. And she told him she did not need or want those things. He persisted, and she hung up on him. But a few days later, a box arrived with the aforementioned items. She called me, and I got the information and called Medicare. Since I don't have a power of attorney, they wouldn't take my information unless my relative was there to okay the information. So it took some more time until I could get to her home, and we called together, and I believe I was informed that we couldn't do anything until we sent back the merchandise. So since we had already opened the box, I had to write or call for a return mailing label. And then when all that was done, we called Medicare back, and they told us.
Are we still on? We lost the call? We'll give it a moment. So it looks like we lost the call. We'll wait until Sally gets back on this. We'll get reconnected there. So Evan Dawson's mom, you know, Evan, the host of this program, she writes that this was a text message that he received. Someone texted me and said that I owed the Thruway Authority $8.60. I was given a link, and I was supposed to pay with a credit card. At first, I thought it's only $8, so if it's a scam, at least it's not a lot of money. But then I thought, I don't even drive on the Thruway, and I had no idea what it could be about, so I deleted the text. So Evan Dawson's mom, I'm going to be live, tell you the truth. She did a better job than I did when I got that text. I actually started following it because I had just changed over our Easy Passes. Mm. And I was afraid the Easy Passes weren't getting read. And so I kept going and kept going and kept going until I got to the website. And I was about ready to put the credit card information in. I went, wait. I got to go back and look at this website. And I looked at the name, and it was like tollsbymail.org or something. And I went, whoa, this isn't right. It should be going to Easy Pass. And so then I just dumped everything out. But the fact that it got me going that far in a moment was really kind of frightening to me. It's like, Eric, you know better. Why did you do this?
Well, you know, and it's like we said earlier, it's because they sent it to a ton of people. I also got that same text, right, saying that I owed money, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to owe anybody money. I want a good credit score and whatnot. And then I realized, wait, those are all in my wife's name. So how would they have any of my information, right? So, and those are the easier ones, right? If Evan's mom realized, wait, I don't drive on the Thruway, how would this happen? That's easy for her. But then yours, same thing, right? You just, oops, I just changed these over. Is there a problem? Did I do something wrong? Right. But thankfully, you caught it. You slowed down. You read through it. But that's what they do. And it's like, I think Justin mentioned earlier, Amazon. Who doesn't get Amazon packages?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
yes.
I get those texts all the time now, too. Your package, there's a problem with it. You need to do this to report whatever.
Yeah. Delete.
Right, because I don't order anything off Amazon. Again, it would be my wife. But so for me, that's easy. But for everybody else, you have to slow down because it will catch you because you have a ton of Amazon packages. So you got to be real careful with these things.
That's right. Sally is back. Sally, welcome back to Connections.
Hi. I'm not sure how much of my story I had said before you lost me, or
so you had gone over to the person's house who you're providing the caregiving for so that you could get a hold of and get return address labels and then return the products and then contact Medicaid, I think you said.
Medicare.
Thank you.
We had it was like our, I think it was our third call to there by the time we did everything they said we had to do. So at that time, it took some more time, and we finally, you know, were able to get them the information. And they said they had already paid the $4,000 or the lion's share of the $4,000, and they had sent the rest of it, the bill, onto Medicaid. We, you know, we didn't know, but they knew that they could check on the bill at that point.
You know, so, I find that really interesting because what this feels like to me, and Justin, please let me know if I'm wrong. What this feels to me is that they're hoping that because it is not coming out of your pocket, because Medicare or Medicaid are reimbursing them directly, you're going to just say, well, you know what? I don't care. I got the boxes. I don't need it, but no harm to me. If somebody else is paying it, I'm not going to worry about it. Do you think that's what's going on?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is, it's the term for it's medical device fraud. They do this a ton. Basically, they send you, like she had said, they send you a back brace in the mail or any other type of medical device. They bill Medicare for it. Most people don't even notice. They think they either ship it back or they throw it out because they don't need it. But this racks up millions upon millions of dollars of fraud in the Medicare system and the Medicaid system.
Hmm. Sally, anything else you want to share with us about that? Because this is sort of disturbing. I hadn't considered this side of the equation at all.
Well, yes. Later on, we received her Medicare billing summary for the month, and on it was a bill from and I'm going to say this in quotation marks, a doctor, and he was billing for a televisit. And he was the one that had prescribed the brace. Well, of course, she didn't have a televisit with this doctor. So that was another call to Medicare. So four calls later, and we still don't know if, you know, Medicaid ever got paid back for the money that they had paid. And I get very angry that our money is being wasted this way. And we've also, she also got another call about a back brace being sent to her. And again, she said no. And this time, which is even scarier, we got a call from her doctor's office, and it was like the secretary's saying, we got a request for having approval for a back brace for your relative. And like, that's really scary that they knew who her medical doctor was now. And I said, no, absolutely no, this is a scam. Do not approve it. But, you know, it's just very, very scary.
Thank you for being so diligent in protecting our tax dollars in this area, because it really is a big deal. And I could see how it would be very easy for someone to say, I don't need to go through this effort. You know, Medicare or Medicaid, they're loaded with money, quote unquote, which is not true. And it's no skin off of my back. So the very fact that you stood up and said, no, I'm going to deal with this is a wonderful example, and actually helps, I think, our other listeners who can relate to this say, oh, maybe I need to be doing something.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, so Officer Hurley, Deputy Hurley, is there any legal recourse in these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a crime, you know, a scam. Anytime you gain something, right, you gain, usually these are money, you're taking it by, you know, illegal action. There's crimes. Where it gets difficult is when it's online or on the phone and the scammer is in another state, another country. We used to see a lot of those when they were in another country, and that's a little bit harder. As much as I would love to, you know, fly to Ireland or Italy to track someone down, the county won't let me go, but I'll keep trying. But, you know, that's where it's our federal partners step in, and then they do an investigation. And you do routinely hear that they catch people, but it makes it a little bit more difficult. It's not just someone down the street that we can go knock on their door.
Sally, if you had any words of advice for our friends who are listening with you, what would they be? That's a tough
into
question.
It. You know, like going into, like finding a phone number and calling them back and seeing if.
We're having connectivity problems today, but that's okay. Sally, if you're still able to hear this, just really, we really appreciate what you've done and the fact that you're willing to share this with folks so that each of us can learn both what the possibilities are that we might be confronted with and what some of the steps might be that we can take to correct that.
If I can interject real
please
quick.
Please do. No,
and
please
I,
do.
I truly appreciate her doing that because we learn from each other, right? Mm-hmm. And we create that awareness. That's how other people are going to learn not to fall to these scams. And it takes brave people like her to come forward and say, hey, you know what? It happened to me. And I can sit and I can tell you all day long, watch out for this, watch out for that. But when one of your peers says, yeah, I fell for it and here's the mistake I made, it just means so much more. Yeah. So again, thank you to her for that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good. You get a good citizenship award for that as far as I'm concerned. So here's another one from Evan Dawson's mom. And this one's even more strange. Someone sent, and I'm just reading from the text here, someone sent an actual iPhone to me in the mail. It came in a box. I was supposed to unpack it and then transfer all of my personal information to the new phone, but I never ordered a phone. I didn't want a new phone. I had no idea who would send me something like that or what the purpose was. That seems like a really high investment kind of scam.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one. I don't know if Justin has. I mean, I guess I'm not the most technological advanced person. Maybe there's some kind of software on there where once you enter your information, they have it.
That's exactly it. Yeah, I've seen that a couple times. You don't see it a lot. They'll send you a new phone, and you're right. It does take an investment form, but sometimes they're stolen phones. They'll put software on there, and then basically they now have remote access to your cell phone. And they can control it from their end. We also see the SIM swaps with cell phones where they'll take a cell phone and, they'll call Verizon and they'll say they're you, and they'll try and get your number to switch over to their phone that they have. When they do that, you think about every time you log into your bank account, what's it do? It sends you a text message to your phone.
Right.
And when you call a place, they know if you're calling from your number. So they'll then try logging into your bank account, and you know it switches over basically the whole phone line over to their phone.
You just made me really scared. Just so
you- It does. I mean, this right now it's $10 billion industry. It's up from $8.8 billion in 2023. Or 2022. So this is massive amounts of money with a lot less risk than some of your other crimes. So a lot of times these are organized groups of people that they have meetings about how they're going to scam. They're very, very sophisticated and methodical the way they do these.
And sometimes they're bad actors, right? Sometimes it's even terrorist groups that are raising money for their efforts. So you just be super careful with this stuff.
Yeah. So when I was preparing for this program today, I just went out and just did just a little bit of investigation, some research, because I've been out of the business for a while. It's been a few years now, and so I can't claim to have the latest knowledge as to what's going on. And one of the reasons why I enjoy hosting this particular program so much, because having people like Deputy Hurley and yourself on the phone, Justin, has been educational for me. But one of the things that I saw out on the internet about how to protect yourself, both from the breaches and from some of the things we've talked about today, is to freeze your credit report. And I'm going to just share these things and then have you guys respond to it. Freeze your credit report. You can go to the credit reporting agencies. My understanding is freezing it is free, you know, whether it's Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion. Always, and I always tell my friends this, stronger passwords. Now, some require stronger passwords, but others. So one way to do that is with a password manager that remembers the passwords for you. That's one thing that I understand that will help you. Or have a way for remembering what complex passwords you're using at different sites. Two-factor authentication. If you've got Gmail, you absolutely should be using two-factor, and many others as well give you the option that says if somebody logs in from an unknown source, it has to text that phone that you just told me Justin could have been cloned.
Exactly.
but it's going to say, I need you to validate that you are who you are. Check your statements and credit reports, it says here. We've already been talking about be wary of scams. And then, of course, there's the option of paid identity protection. Would you like to talk about any of those items?
Sure. So the credit freezes are a great idea. Basically, a credit freeze stops the credit agency from releasing a credit report. And as we know, anytime you apply for credit or a scammer applies in your name for credit, no one's going to give you any debt unless they can pull your credit report. So the credit freeze is very easy. You call each of the three bureaus. You request a credit freeze. Then now that's different from a lock. If you hear the term lock, it's basically a credit freeze that they charge for. But federal law requires that for free, they can freeze your credit. I can tell you for mine, I keep mine frozen all the time. And then if I want to, it's like an on-off switch, so you can turn it off. So if I want to apply for a car loan tomorrow, I call the credit bureaus, I turn it off. They'll release my credit report, and then I go back and turn it back on. It will stop any form of identity theft that has to do with debt, where someone, which is the 90%, where they're trying to take out some type of debt in your name. That's very helpful. There's also the fraud alert, which is basically you call just one of the three credit bureaus, you give them your phone number. So when someone applies for credit in your name, the credit report will say to the debt company that, you know, this person's a victim of identity theft. Please call them at this number to verify they put the application in. Problem is, I've seen these scammers are very good when it comes to fraud alerts. And before they apply for anything in your name, they will call the credit bureaus, pretend to be you, put a fraud alert on, and put their phone number. Give the credit bureaus their phone number. So then the, you know, whoever they apply to will call them to ask if they put it through. Like you said, strong passwords. I think one of the most important things that the deputy mentioned is always being the caller. We usually tell people be the referee, always be the person making a call when it comes to anything financial. And don't verify any information over the phone if they're calling you. Always be the caller.
Mm-hmm. Deputy Hurley?
Boy, if these people could use those powers for good, right?
Really?
They're so smart, and the things that they can figure out, we'd have cancer cured by now. But yeah, you know, he made some really good points there. And I would just tell people the same, never be afraid to ask for help, right? I mean, you've heard people joke about it. You'll have a cell phone and you're trying to figure it out. And then your 10-year-old comes along and is downloading things and putting all kinds of, don't be afraid to ask for help, you know, from a loved one, a relative, someone that you trust. You know, because navigating the internet and looking for some of those reputable sites, there's a lot of clones out there that look like, you know, LifeLock or this one or that one. So just don't ever be afraid to ask for help.
Here's one that people don't talk about very often because it is a nuisance, especially if you have kids and you let them get a hold of your phone. But one of the things you can do is if you do any kind of financial transactions on your phone, you can have it set up that if an incorrect password is put in 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, whatever the number is, the phone wipes itself. Is it painful? Yeah, it is, and it's annoying, but you can get all your stuff back because most of it's backed up either in the iCloud or in Gmail, depending upon which sources you use, or maybe you use both. So one way to protect your identity, especially if, you know, what I've read about is, you know, the person hops in a cab. I know we don't do a lot of that around here, but in New York City, they hop in a cab, they hop in an Uber or something like that. They hop out and the vehicle is gone. They realize they left their phone in the vehicle, right? And so to make sure that nobody else can get to your stuff, make sure the phone automatically locks after a certain time period, minus 30 seconds of not using it. And if you plug in a password too many times, it's just going to go dead. You'll get a free phone out of it because it'll be completely cleared of any information. Actually, because then I'll be charged. I have to think about that. If they do reset the phone, I'm still paying for the cell bill. I have to work on that.
But they won't have all your information.
But they won't have my information. That's right. That's something I'll have to think about. But I also have a LifeLock on the phone as well and can deactivate it with Verizon if I need to do that, since that's my carrier. What other ideas do you have, gentlemen, for trying to protect our identity?
One of the things that you just mentioned is a great tool that Apple has, and Google has a form of it, is Find My iPhone. You can not only, if you lose your iPhone, you say you left it in that car, you can tell exactly where, but you can also wipe it remotely. So if you're like, oh, a bad actor's got this, hit the wipe button and you can wipe it completely. I'm not positive of the name of the Google version of it for Android, but I know they do have one. That's been very helpful to me. I know anytime I've lost my phone.
Great. We have John on line two who has a tip for us. John, welcome to Connections.
Yeah, hi. It was just a few years ago, a former coworker retired, and I knew him well enough to know that he and his sister were living together. They were both widowers. And I get an email from him saying that he and his wife are in London. They're locked into their hotel room. They can't get out. They have to have money. I sent an email response saying, Robert, send me something that only you and I would know. Never got a response, but later that day I got an email from him, and he said, I've been hacked, my Facebook, we're not in London, we're fine, please don't respond. What the hacker did was, once he got in, changed his email address. So my response, send me something only you and I know, went to the hacker, therefore no response. So the tip is, watch these email addresses. It was one letter changed, all the difference. Yeah,
that's a good one. Thank you. Thank you very much for that tip. Okay. It's really good. We have Judy here who is from Irondequoit and has a question about freezing credit. Judy, welcome to Connections. Did I get you, Judy? Or did I push the wrong button?
I'm here.
Oh, Judy, welcome to Connections.
Okay. a couple months back, a relative had a check washed. And they had to go through the whole process of the nightmare of redoing your checkbook, all the direct deposits, direct withdrawals. It was a nightmare. And I thought, well, gee, I might as well just go ahead and freeze my credit because I really don't have any need to have that out there. And they had to do there, so they went through calling the three and, you know, set that up. And I then thought, well, I'll just call that number, those numbers too, and get mine frozen. And I have... I hope you're sitting down. I've never, you know, had any kind of a credit card or had any kind of credit. And when I called, they said, no, they can't freeze it.
Hmm.
Is it, do you have to have some kind of use of, you know, credit or something first? I tried two of them, and I didn't even bother to call the third one then because they were telling me they couldn't do it.
That one thing with the credit bureaus, no, by federal law, they have to freeze it. The one problem that we run into quite a bit is them wanting to verify your information where, you know, you call them up, they'll ask you a bunch of questions and then they'll say, no, you're going to need to send a copy of your driver's license, your, you know, a current, something with your address on it to verify who you are before they'll freeze it, especially to unfreeze. But no, they by the federal law have to freeze it.
Well, they said they couldn't do it. I even asked for a supervisor or somebody, but I got nowhere with two of them.
Hmm.
If you call Lifespan, we can assist you in figuring that out.
I mean, I was getting sweaty palms just giving my Social Security number over the phone.
Yes, it is a little nerve-wracking because all the credit bureaus, it's the one thing they'll require is the Social Security number and the full one.
Right. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, thank you so much. No, I really appreciate your call today. Thanks for joining us. This is not a paid announcement, in other words. I'm not trying to advocate for any particular company, but one of the things I've been very satisfied with lately is I've seen how ESL, which is where we do much of our banking, you know, ESL is very responsive and can even send alerts when any transactions happen on your credit card. I've seen the same thing with Discover. Those are the kinds of things maybe that help you watch your credit to see what's going on.
Absolutely. I have the same experience with ESL. And usually any bank that has a local branch somewhere is very helpful. We run into some problems with the international banks where there's no actual person that you can actually talk to locally. But we've had great experiences with ESL as well.
Deputy?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that too, right? Like technology is fantastic and it can make your life better in a lot of ways, a lot easier, but sometimes the old-fashioned ways are better. Just that face-to-face transaction in the bank where you know everything's verified. And real quick, what you were talking about, like the password saver and all that stuff. If you're home secure and you don't have any shady people living with you, sometimes just writing those passwords down in a notebook is the best way. because no one can hack your notebook.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny, at work, of course, we always told people don't write your passwords down because you would walk around work. In the old days, I know that doesn't happen anymore, but in the old days, you know, you'd walk past somebody's computer, they've got their password on a sticky note on the screen.
Absolutely.
That's like leaving your key right on the front desk, on the front porch, right? Say, all right, come on in and do what you're going to do. You know, this has been a wonderful conversation that we've had today. I'm just so honored to have been able to host this with Deputy Brendan Hurley, who's a public information officer from the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and Justin McCabe, who's a scam prevention coordinator for Lifespan. Justin, you mentioned a moment ago that they could call Lifespan. Would you like to give any information? And we'll also make sure it's on the website if people want to make a local call.
Sure. The phone number for Lifespan is 585-244-8400. Again, we're a not-for-profit in our scams department. All the services are completely free. So you can just give us a call. You'll get the front desk. Just ask for the scams department, and it'll lead you right to us.
Thank you. Deputy Hurley.
Yeah, Lifespan is a great outfit. They have some really good people there, so I'll give them a plug as well. But when in doubt, call us. 911 and a local police officer will come out and try to help you walk through anything that's suspicious.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for being guests today. It has been really informative, and I know our listeners have really benefited. And thank you to Miles Young, who's our engineer today, Julie Williams, who's the associate producer, of course, to Megan Mack, our executive producer, and Evan Dawson, the host of Connections. And we will look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you again for being a member of WXXI and supporting public radio.